This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Verse number 246, Surah Al-Baqarah.
Then Allah says, أَلَمْ تَرَى, did you not see? Again, that same expression, have you not considered? Have you not taken a lesson from this? If you haven't, then reflect on the story. On what story? إِلَى to الْمَلَئِ, the chiefs. Chiefs of who? مِنْ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ, of Bani Israel. The word مَلَى is from the root ميم لام همزة. ميم لام همزة. The word مِلْ is also from the same root. مِلْ. And مِلْ is used for the fill of something. The fill of something. مِلْ الْأَرْضِ. The fill of the earth. Earth full, like how we say. A glass full, a jug full, a box full. So what is mil? The fill of something. When something is full of something. And then the word mala is used for a group of people. The word mala is used for a group of people. But what kind of group? A group of leaders. A group of chiefs. A group of high class people. Elite. Okay? Because what do? These people, when they go somewhere, they don't go alone. Isn't it so? When they go somewhere, they don't go alone. They're usually accompanied by those of the same rank. Then, when they're in some place, what do? They fill up that place. Moreover, they will fill the hearts of people with awe. They will fill the hearts of people with awe. Just imagine, like for example, if you see a picture or a video of the government officials or something, the whole place is full and it's so proper, right? People are sitting properly and they're dressed properly and nobody's walking around like that. People are, you know, doing things in a particular way, and it gives a very good impression. It literally fills the hearts of people with awe. Okay? So, mala is used for a group of people, but what kind of group? A group of the elite. Why are they called mala? Because usually they accompany each other. They go together. They go in large numbers. And also, they fill the hearts of people with awe. And also, with them, places are full. Okay? And without them, places are empty. You may have heard of that bakery where President Obama went and bought that cookie from. Okay, and what happened to that bakery? Everybody is going over there to buy that cookie. Okay, so one person of high status goes somewhere and that place is full. It becomes full. Okay? And he goes and that place is empty. So, mala is used for high officials. It's a singular word that gives a plural meaning. It's a singular word that gives a plural meaning. So, have you not considered the chiefs? Which chiefs? Mim Bani Israel, of the children of Israel. Mim from Bardi, after Musa, Musa a.s. What does it mean by after Musa a.s.? Meaning this incident took place after the death of Musa a.s. Okay? After the death of Musa a.s. Id, when, qalu, they said. Who said? The mala, the chiefs. They said. To who? They said to linabiyin, to a prophet. Which prophet? Lahum, for them. Meaning a prophet of theirs. Which prophet of theirs? The name is not mentioned. So, لِنَبِيِّ لَهُمْ, a prophet for them, meaning a prophet of Bani Israel. What did these people say to that prophet? إِبْعَثْ, you appoint. إِبْعَثْ from the root بَعْعِنْسَ. بَعْثَ literally means to raise, which is why the word is also used for resurrection. Then the word بَعْثَ is also used for appointing someone by giving them some responsibility. بَعْثَ is also used for what? Appointing someone by giving them some responsibility. Because when somebody is given a responsibility, when they're appointed, what happens? They are raised above others in their status. So, ibas, you appoint, you raise, lana, for us, malikan, a king. Malikan. Malikan, what's the root? Mim lam kaf, mulk. Mulk means kingdom, kingship, sovereignty. So, raise, appoint a king for us. Why a king? What do we want to do? Nuqatil, we will fight. Fi in sabilillah, way of Allah. We want to fight in the way of Allah. So that's why we want a king. We want a leader. Malik over here can be understood as a leader. Qala, he said. Who said? The Prophet said to the Mala, Hal is a question for istifham. Hal is asaytum. Probable that you all. Perhaps that you all. Asaytum, asa, we have done the word earlier. And tum means you. So asaytum, perhaps you. When asa is followed by tum, okay, like over here, it gives the meaning of it might be on your part. Asaytum, when asa is followed by tum, what meaning does it give? It might be on your part. It may be possible that on your part this happens. So hal asaytum, meaning would you perhaps, on your part, would it be possible? What? In if kutiba, it was written, alaykum, upon you, al-qitalu, the fighting. What is possible on your part? Allah, that not, tuqatilu, you all fight. Allah is a combination of an and la. So it's quite possible on your part that when qital is prescribed on you, what do? You don't fight. So this is why, don't ask for these things. Qalu, they said. Who does they refer to? They refer to the chiefs who had come to their Nabi, the Mala. So they said, who had brought that demand, Wama, and what? Lana, for us, Allah, that not, Nuqatila, we fight, Fi in Sabili, way Allahi of Allah. In other words, why should we not fight in the way of Allah? Why should we not fight in the way of Allah? وَقَدْ while in fact, أُخْرِجْنَا, we were expelled. أُخْرِجْنَا, what's the root? خَرَاجِيم. We were expelled, min, from diyarina, our homes, our dwellings. Diyar, plural of the word? Dar. We were expelled from our homes, وَأَبْنَائِنَا, and our children, our sons. Abna is the plural of ibn. Ibn is used for son, but then the plural form applies to not only the male children, but also female children. So abna refers to children. So we were expelled from our homes and our children. What does it mean? Our homes were taken away from us, and our children were taken away from us. We have been deprived of our land, and we have been deprived of our children, our future generations. We have been deprived of them. So this is why we are definitely going to fight and get them back. So Allah says, فَلَمَّا then when كُتِبَ, it was written, it was made obligatory. What? عَلَيْهِمْ upon them, الْقِتَالُ, the fighting. What did they do? تَوَلَّوْا, they turned away. تَوَلَّوْا from the root, وَاوْ الْأَمْيَا. And تَوَلَّا, يَتَوَلَّا is used for physically turning away from something. So they turned away, meaning they refrained from fighting. They refrained from fighting. إِلَّا except قَلِيلًا, a little minhum, from them. Meaning some of the people, yes, they did go on and fight. Wallahu, and Allah, alimun, always all-knowing, with who? Bi-zalimeen, with those who do zulm. Zalimeen, plural of zalim, one who does zulm. And what is zulm? To place something where it doesn't belong, also to reduce. And zulm is also used for tarkul wajib, to leave that which is mandatory. Tarkul wajib, to leave that which is necessary. In other words, to leave one's duty. Because when a person leaves his duty, what happens? Other people, they have to suffer. Okay? So this is why zulm is also used for tarkul wajib. Over here, they are called zalimeen because they are leaving their duty. Imagine a whole lot of them went and said, we want to fight. And now all of a sudden, only 50 people want to. Where do the rest of you go? Now the whole burden is going to come on who? On those 50 people. Is it fair? No, it's not. Who's going to suffer? Those 50 people. So Allah is aware of who? Those people who do zulm. وَقَالَ, and he said, لَهُمْ, to them, meaning to the Bani Israel, who said to them, نَبِيُّهُمْ, their prophet. What did he say? إِنَّ اللَّهَ, indeed Allah, قَدْ, in fact, بَعَثَ, he has appointed, he has raised, لَكُمْ, for you, طَالُوتَ طَالُوت, مَلِكًا, as a king. They ask for a king, the Prophet tells them, who is your king? Talut is your king. Talut is a Hebrew word, and it is said that It is from طول. It is said that it is from طول. طالوت from طول. طول is used for height. So it is said that he was very tall. The people would only come up to his shoulders. Average tall people would come up to his shoulders. He was exceptionally tall. So Allahu a'lam what the reality is, but this is what the linguists have said. So قَدْ بَعَثَ لَكُمْ طَالُوتَ مَلِكَ. Allah has chosen طَالُوتَ as a king for you, as a leader for you. Now they have an objection. قَالُوا, they said, أَنَّ, how? أَنَّ is a word for istifham, and it's used in different ways. Sometimes it is used for place, and sometimes it is also used for كَيْفِيَة, for howness. Okay, كَيْفِيَة, howness, how. So how come? How is it possible? Anna, how come? How is it possible? Yakunu, that it is, lahu, for him. What is for him? Al-mulku, the kingship. How come he has kingship? How come he has sovereignty? Alayna, over us. How is it possible that he can be made a king among us, over us? Wa nahnu, while we, ahakku, are more deserving. Ahakku, from haq, haq of qaf. In other words, we have more haq, we have more right than him. Over what? Bil mulki, with the kingdom. Minhu, than him. We have more right to kingdom than him. Walam, and not, yu'ta, he is given. He refers to who? Talut. Moreover, he is also not given. What is he not given? Sa'atan, ample, plenty. Sa'atan from the root, wawsin ayn, wus'a. Wallahu wasi'un. Wus'a means capacity. So sa'atan, ample, plenty, meaning he has not been given spaciousness. Sa'atan literally means spaciousness. He has not been given spaciousness, he has not been given wideness in what? Min al-mal, of the wealth, from the wealth. In his wealth, he has not been given spaciousness. In other words, he doesn't have a lot of wealth. He is not that rich. Qala, he said. Who said? The Prophet said to them, إِنَّ اللَّهَ, indeed Allah, إِصْطَفَاهُ, he has chosen him. Allah has chosen طَالُوت. إِصْطَفَى from the root? صَدْفَى, well. صَفُ. صَفَى means to be clear, and إِصْطَفَى is to choose someone on the basis of their purity. إِصْطَفَى is to choose someone, to select someone on the basis of their purity. So Allah has chosen him because of his purity. What does he mean by purity, by the way? What kind of purity? Because he's physically clean? Huh? It could be understood as honesty, purity in their words also, in their actions, in their sincerity, in their relationships. So purity in different ways. Allah has chosen him, in other words, because he is the best among you. The pure one is the best among the people. So إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَاهُ عَلَيْكُمْ, over you, and وَزَادَهُ, and he has increased him. Allah has increased طَالُوت. زَادَ from the root زَيَّدَل. زَيَّدَل. Allah has increased him in what? بَسْتَطَن, in abundance. Abundance in what? فِي الْعِلْمِ وَالْجِسْمِ, in the knowledge and also in body. بَسْتَطَن from the root بَاسِنْطَ. We just did the word يَبْسُطُ. وَاللَّهُ يَقْبِضُ وَيَبْسُطُ. يَبْسُطُ is what? To expand, to stretch out. And بَسْتَطَن gives the meaning of extent, the extent. Okay? So, he has increased the extent of his knowledge and of his body. Okay? He has increased the extent of his knowledge. In other words, he has given him a lot of knowledge. Because everybody has some extent to their knowledge, isn't it? Some extent, some limitation. There's some boundary, some ending. So his boundary is a lot, is far. So in other words, he has been given a lot of knowledge. Well, jism and the body. Jism from the root jim, seen, meme. And jism is used for body. And over here, basatan fil jism refers to that physically, he is strong. In his physique, he is strong. Talut gives the meaning of one who is tall. So he's tall, he is strong. In his physical body, he is very strong. Wallahu and Allah yu'ti, He gives, mulkahu, His kingdom, man, whoever yasha'u, He wills. And wallahu and Allah wasi'un, He is all-embracing and He is also alimun, always all-knowing. Wasi'un, what's the root? Wasi'un, ayn. وَقَالَ, and he said, لَهُمْ to them, نَبِيُّهُمْ, their prophet. Their prophet said to the Bani Israel, that indeed he is the king, and you must believe, there is a sign for you. إِنَّ indeed, آيَةَ sign, مُلْكِهِ, of his kingship. What's the sign that he is really the one whom Allah has chosen to be the leader? There must be a sign that Allah has chosen him to be the leader. So there is a sign. What's that sign? أَنْ that يَأْتِيَكُمْ, it will come to you. What will come to you? At-tabutu, the tabut, the box, the chest. At-tabut is from the root tawaba. Any of the word from the same root? Tawaba, tawba. What does tawba mean? To return, to repent. Tawba literally means to return, to repent. So if you have a box in which you have your goodies, what are you going to do? Return to it again and again. Just imagine your purse. What do? You return to it over and over again. Your closet, you return to it over and over again. So tabut is used for a box, a chest, in which important things are, which is why a person goes back to it again and again. The word tabut is also understood as a coffin where dead people are put in and then they're buried. The word is also used for that. Over here it doesn't mean coffin, but it means a box. It means a chest. Because over here Allah says that in that tabut there is means of tranquility for you, and in that box there is also what? Baqiyatun, remnants or relics. Mimma, from what? Taraka alu Musa wa alu Harun. So an ya'tiyakumu tabut, the tabut is going to come to you. Fihi, in it. In what? In that box there is sakinatun, tranquility. Sakina from the root seen kafnun. Sakana is to be still, and sakina is used for tranquility, calmness. It's also used for peace of mind. Tranquility, peacefulness, what does it mean? Peace of mind, sukoon. So in it, there is sukoon, there is sakina. In the box, there is a means of sakina, there is a means of tranquility for you. Mir rabbikum, from your Rabb. And in the box, there is also what? There is also wabaqiyatun, and remnants. Baqiyya from the root baqafya. Baqa. Baqa means to remain. Baqiyya, that which remains behind. So, remainder, relics. So, what someone has left behind. Left behind by who? Mimma, from what? Taraka, he left. Alu Musa, family of Musa, wa alu Harun, and family of Harun. It is said that Musa alayhis-salam's staff and a pair of his sandals and such things were in that box. And just imagine, you know, sometimes you will hear this place, they have a hair of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, right? They have no proof for that, but what happens to such a thing? People go and look at it, they want to see it. Let's listen to the recitation of these verses.
أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الْمَلَإِ مِنْ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مُوسَى إِذْ قَالُوا لِنَبِيٍّ لَهُمْ إِذْ قَالُوا لِنَبِيٍّ لَهُمْ بَعَثْ لَنَا مَلِكًا نُقَاتِلْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ قال هل عسيتم إن كتب عليكم القتال ألا تقاتلوا قالوا وما لنا ألا نقاتل في سبيل الله وقد أخرجنا من ديارنا وأبنائنا فلما كتب عليهم القتال تولوا إلا قليلا منهم وَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ بِالظَّالِمِينَ وَقَالَ لَهُمْ نَبِيُّهُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ بَعَثَ لَكُمْ طَالُوتَ مَلِكًا قَالُوا أنى يكون له الملك علينا ونحن أحق بالملك منه ولم يؤت سعة من المال قال إن الله اصطفاه عليكم وزاده بسطة في العلم والجسم والله يؤتي ملكه من يشاء والله واسع عليم وقال لهم نبيهم إن آية ملكه أن يأتيكم التابوت فيه سكينة من ربكم وبقية مما ترك آل موسى وآل هارون تحمله الملائكة إن في ذلك لآية لكم إن كنتم مؤمنين.
تفسير آية number 246. ألم ترى؟ Have you not considered? Have you not seen? Have you not reflected? Have you not pondered? On what? إلى الملأ من بني إسرائيل من بعد موسى. On the assembly of the children of Israel after the time of Musa alayhi salam. Here Allah does not inform us of exactly when this incident took place, who the prophet was who's mentioned ahead, and why Bani Israel wanted to fight. These details are not mentioned here because if these details were very, very important for us to know, Allah would have told us. And since they're not mentioned here, what does this tell us? The intent is something different. The purpose is to drive home a lesson, that we reflect on these verses and extract a lesson for ourselves. So here Allah is saying, أَلَمْ تَرَى, have you not reflected? Meaning reflect on the verses that are coming ahead. إِلَى الْمَلَئِ مِنْ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مُوسَى, in particular, an incident. Have you not considered the assembly of Bani Israel after the time of Musa alayhi salam? Now we see that there are many incidents, narrations that are found regards to this, and there are many opinions of the scholars as well, but we do not find an explicit hadith that tells us exactly what happened. Therefore, when we take any Israeli tradition, what should we do? Make sure that it does not contradict the Quran and the Sunnah. So as long as it does not contradict the Quran and the Sunnah, there's no haraj, no blame in narrating it. But nonetheless, our focus, our intention should be to gain a lesson for ourselves. So what is this referring to over here? What happened? When did this happen? Wahab bin Munabbih, he says with regards to this, the children of Israel remained on the straight path for a period of time after Musa a.s. So after the death of Musa a.s., Bani Israel were upon the truth. They were upon the deen of Tawheed. They then innovated in the religion, and some of them even worshipped the idols. So for some time they were on the deen of Tawheed, worshipping one Allah, obeying the messenger that came to them. But after a few years, what did they do? They left everything and they began to innovate in the religion which Allah gave to them. They went astray and started worshipping idols as well. Yet there were always prophets sent among them who would command them to work righteous deeds, refrain from doing evil, and who would rule them according to the commands of the Torah. When they, meaning Bani Israel, committed the evil that they committed, Allah caused their enemies to overwhelm them. When they went far away from the teachings of the messengers, Allah caused the enemy to overpower them. And many fatalities fell among them as a consequence. Their enemies also captured a great number of them, so they took them as captives, and took over large areas of their land. Before anyone who would fight the Israelites, meaning Bani Israel, he would lose. Before this, when they were upon the true deen, anyone who fought them, the enemy would lose. Who would win? Who would be successful? Bani Israel. But when they left the teachings of the messenger, and someone came against them, who lost then? Bani Israel, and the enemy had success. Because they had the Torah and the Tabut, which they inherited generation after generation ever since the time of Musa, who spoke to Allah directly. Yet the Bani Israel kept indulging in misguidance until some king of the Amalekites, and Amalekites is basically referring to a nation, a nomadic nation, and there were nomads living south of Palestine. Until some king of the Amalekites took the Tabut from them during a battle. So Bani Israel, they faced the Amalekites in a battle, and the Amalekites took the Tabut from them. And Tabut is the box or the chest that is mentioned ahead. That king also took possession of the Torah, and only a few of the Israelites who memorized it remained, meaning he killed most of those who had memorized the Torah, the divine book that Allah sent to them. The prophethood halted among their various tribes, and only a pregnant woman remained of the offspring of the tribe of Levi, in whom the prophethood still appeared. Her husband had been killed, so the Israelites kept her in a house so that Allah may give her a boy who would be their prophet. The woman also kept invoking Allah to grant her a boy, meaning a son. Allah heard her pleas and gave her a boy whom she called Shem'un. She called this boy, her son, Shem'un, which means Allah has heard my pleas. Some people said that the boy's name was Shemuel. Some have said his name was Shem'un, and some have said that his name was Shemuel, which also has a similar meaning. And the English translation of this name is Samuel. As that boy grew, Allah raised him to be a righteous person. When he reached the age of prophethood, Allah revealed to him and commanded him to call his people to him. When the boy grew up, Allah gave him prophethood and also sent down revelation upon him, commanding him to call people to the oneness of Allah. Shemuel called the children of Israel to Allah, and they asked him to appoint a king over them. So the people came to their prophet, and they said to him, "Raise for us a king," meaning appoint a king over us, so that they could fight their enemies under his command. The kingship had also ended among them. Their prophet said to them, "What if Allah appoints a king over you? Would you fulfill your vow to fight under his command?" And this has been mentioned in the following verses. Now the situation of Muslims in Medina was very similar to the situation of Bani Israel that is mentioned here. The Muslims were expelled from their homes. The mushrikeen of Mecca, every single year they were coming back to Medina, attacking them. So here indirectly, through these verses, the Muslims are told, pay attention to the condition of the chiefs of Bani Israel when they said to their prophet, consider this, reflect on this. Why? So that you take a lesson for yourself, because they were to go through a very similar situation. And what was that? When they migrated to Medina, after only 2 years, what happened? The Battle of Badr. They were to defend themselves against the enemy who was going to come to fight them. So in other words, the Muslims are being urged to fight the enemy through this narration, through these verses that Allah revealed upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So consider, reflect upon the chiefs, the elite of Bani Israel. إِذْ قَالُوا لِنَبِيٍّ لَهُمْ, when they said to a prophet of theirs, what did they say to their prophet, and which prophet? According to narrations, we find that this is referring to the prophet Shemuel or Samuel. They said to their prophet, إِبْعَثْ لَنَا مَلِكًا, send to us a king, appoint for us a king. نُقَاتِلْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, and we will fight in the way of Allah. You appoint a king over us, and we will go out fighting in his way. So this tells us that qital, fighting, can only be done when there is a strong leadership. If there's no leader, if the ummah is not united, then there's no obligation upon the people to fight the enemy. And this is what we find in the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as well. In Mecca, when the Muslims were weak, what did Allah say to them? Hold back your hands, do not fight, do not retaliate, do not take revenge. But when they migrated from Mecca to Medina and they had that leadership, when Islam was established, then they were given the command to defend themselves against the enemy. And the Prophet ﷺ, whenever he would send out an army, an expedition, he would always appoint a leader. Sometimes he would go himself, and if he would not go himself, he would appoint a leader over the people for the expedition. So they came to the Prophet and said to him, Raise for us a king, appoint him, and we will fight in the way of Allah. Qala, he said. Who said? The Prophet said in response, هَلْ عَسَيْتُمْ إِن كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْقِتَالُ أَلَّا تُقَاتِلُوا Would you perhaps refrain from fighting if fighting was prescribed for you? If it was made an obligation upon you? Today you're saying that you want to fight. Today you're saying you want to go out in the way of Allah and fight the enemy. But perhaps when fighting is made an obligation upon you, when it is prescribed upon you, you will say that we don't want to fight anymore. We don't want to go out anymore. قَالُوا They said in response, وَمَا لَنَا أَلَّا نُقَاتِلَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ And why should we not fight in the cause of Allah? وَقَدْ أُخْرِجْنَا مِنْ دِيَارِنَا وَأَبْنَائِنَا When we have been driven out from our homes and from our children, after our land has been confiscated from us, our children have been taken away from us, there's nothing preventing us from fighting. Why should we not fight? Earlier, you have read that fighting in the way of Allah means that a person fights exclusively to exalt the name of Allah and the deen of Allah. But here notice that they're saying that they have driven us out of our houses and they have taken our children away from us. How do we reconcile between the two? The first part, they're saying, why should we not fight in the way of Allah, fi sabilillah? And then they're saying, we have been driven out of our homes and our children. But we have learned that fighting is only to exalt the name of Allah. That should be the intention. The explanation of this is very simple, that if the houses are plundered, they're looted, they're taken over, the children are killed, because of the deen, then defending them would be in the way of Allah. Defending them would be fi sabilillah. But if, for example, a person's intention behind fighting is to gain more land, to gain more resources, then this is not allowed. Then this is not fighting fi sabilillah or for the sake of Allah. So they're saying, why should we not fight in the way of Allah when we have been driven out of our houses and our children have been taken away from us? In other words, all this happened because of the deen, and so we want to defend this. فَلَمَّا كُتِبَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْقِتَالِ But when fighting was prescribed for them, when qital was made an obligation upon them, so what were they saying? We want to fight. And why should we not fight? And when it was prescribed, تَوَلَّوْا إِلَّا قَلِيلًا مِّنْهُمْ They turned away except for a few of them. They came to the Prophet with a lot of zeal, making great claims. Appoint for us a king, we will fight. And when this command came down, now go fight, most of them turned away except for a few of them. There are only a few who were steadfast. Wallahu alimun bidh-dhalimin, and Allah is knowing of the wrongdoers. Allah knows of those who commit injustices. And who is a wrongdoer in light of this verse? Someone who asks for something which is not an obligation upon him, but when it is made an obligation upon him, he turns away. So a certain command was not made fard upon him, but he asked for it. And when it was made fard upon him, what did he do? Instead of fulfilling what he said, he turned away, did not fulfill it. He is a wrongdoer in light of this verse. In other words, darkul wajib is dhulm. Why is it dhulm? What did you hear in word analysis? Why is leaving an obligation dhulm? So for example, if everyone said that we want to fight, and when the time came to fight, most of them went back, the few people who are fighting, is an injustice against them. The majority have turned away. Similarly with any deed, when a person makes something an obligation upon him and he does not do it, then he's committing injustices against others. Or he might be reducing in the right of Allah. For example, there's a term that is used, nadr, a vow. And what is a vow? A person, he says, I will do such and such if Allah makes this thing happen for me. Can you think of any examples? What kinds of vows do people make? So for example, if Allah gives me an A on my test, I'll pray 4 nawafil or 20 nawafil. Was a nafil an obligation upon you? Did Allah make it fard upon you to pray 20 nawafil? No, He didn't. By you saying this, if this happens, I will do such and such, you have made that act an obligation upon you, meaning you must do it. Number one, Making vows is not liked in Islam, but if a person does make a vow, then he should fulfill it. Because if he turns away from it, for example, he says, I will do 20 nawafil if this happens, and he does not do it, then he's committing dhulm. And here Allah is saying, Wallahu alimun bidh-dhalimin, and Allah knows of those who commit dhulm. Allah knows of those who commit wrongdoings. Some other lessons that we learn from this verse. Number one, if you look at the beginning of this verse, we are invited to ponder and reflect. And this is the purpose of the Qur'an, that you read the Qur'an with the intention to reflect on it. And what is the outcome of reflection? You take a lesson. And when you take, what does it mean to take a lesson? Okay, so for example, if it is a story and it has a moral, then you adopt those qualities in your life, and if it is something that is displeasing to Allah, you stay away from it. So basically, apply that lesson to your life. Apply that lesson to your own life. Secondly, we learn from this verse the virtue of prophethood. Notice how the people, they went to their prophet and said to him, appoint for us a king. His status is greater and higher than that of a king. The highest status is the status of a prophet. From this verse, we also learn of the importance of appointing a leader. Why? For disciplinary purposes, organizational purposes. It's very similar to us as well. If you have a group of people, a team of people, what should you do? Appoint a leader. And this is the reason why you have a group in charge, a leader of the team, who can make sure there's organization and there's discipline. Fourthly, we learn from this verse that it is not necessary for a prophet to lead an army himself. He can appoint someone else. For example, at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, there were many expeditions in which he did not go himself, but rather he appointed another companion. For example, the Battle of Mu'tah. He appointed Ja'far bin Abi Talib as the head, and they went out for the expedition. It was a huge expedition during the lifetime of the Prophet ﷺ. We also learn from this verse that positions are given based on merit. The people came to him and they said to him, إِبْعَثْ لَنَا مَلِكًا, appoint for us a king. And this will be further explained in the following verses. We also learn that the prophets are very, very wise. From where do we learn this lesson? So when they came to him and said to him that we want to fight in the way of Allah, what did he say to them in response? That perhaps you want to fight today, but when fighting is prescribed upon you, you turn away. You don't want to fight anymore. So this shows the wisdom of the Prophet and his knowledge. And there's also a slight indication in the response of the Prophet that any person should not wish to fight. They should not wish for a battle. The Prophet ﷺ said, O people, do not wish to face the enemy in a battle. Do not want to face an enemy in the battlefield. And ask Allah to save you from such calamities. Ask Allah, make dua to Him to save you from such a time. But if you should face the enemy, meaning you're in a circumstance or a situation where you have to go out and face the enemy, then be patient and let it be known to you that paradise is under the shades of swords. Now from this hadith we learn of a great lesson. And how do we apply this hadith to ourselves? In our lives we should never ask for difficulties. We should never ask for tests and trials. But oh Allah, put me in this difficulty, after, for example, reading a hadith that Allah tests those whom He loves the most, and we go home make dua, oh Allah, test me, put me in a difficulty. No, we should not make dua for a difficulty. But if we're put in a difficulty, what should we do then? Be patient. Do sabr. And then we learn from this verse that boasting, arrogance, pride is not liked near Allah. They made great claims that we want to fight, we will fight, why should we not fight? But what happened at the end, at time of action? Most of them turned away. But nonetheless, when they came to the Prophet, said to him, make dua to Allah to appoint for us a king. He did make dua to Allah to appoint for them a king. And so, a king was appointed for them. And who was this king? Allah says, وَقَالَ لَهُمْ نَبِيُّهُمْ, and their Prophet said to them. Said to who? Said to the people who came to him, asking him to appoint for them a king. The Prophet said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ بَعَثَ لَكُمْ طَالُوتَ مَلِكًا, Indeed, Allah has sent to you Talut as a king. You were asking for a king, Allah has sent you a king. You were asking for a leader, Allah has sent to you a leader. Qalu, they said, أَنَّ يَكُونُ لَهُ الْمُلْكُ عَلَيْنَا. How can he have kingship over us? How can he have a dominion over us, authority over us? وَنَحْنُ أَحَقُّ بِالْمُلْكِ مِنْ. While we are more worthy of kingship than him. We are more worthy of authority than him. So this was their first objection. How can he have authority over us? How can who have authority over us? Talut. How can he be a king appointed over us? Why did they say this? Why did they make this objection? The reason is, they wanted a king. They came to the Prophet and said to him, appoint for us a king. One reason, he did not have any wealth. And he did not have that much status in society. It is said that, and you have read about this at the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah as well, that Bani Israel were divided in 12 tribes. 12 tribes of Bani Israel. One of the tribes was Banu Lawi. When we mentioned this earlier in the quote by Wahab bin Munabbih, the tribe of Levi. So this was the tribe from which all the prophets descended. Musa alayhi salam, Harun alayhi salam, Shamwil, all of these prophets were from the tribe of Banu Levi, Banu Lawi. Then there was another tribe, Banu Yehuda. Banu Yehuda. And Yehuda was the name of the oldest son of Yaqub alayhi salam. And it was from this tribe that all the leaders descended. So whenever a leader was to be appointed in the society, he would be appointed from this tribe, Banu Yehuda. It was the houses of the kings, the house of kings, or the tribe of monarchs. And then there was another tribe, Binyamin, his tribe. There were 12 tribes, but all of those tribes, I'm mentioning only three, because they're relevant over here. Talut was not from Banu Lawi, and he was not from Banu Yehuda, but instead he was from the tribe of Binyamin. Who knows who was Binyamin? The youngest son of Yaqub alayhi salam and the brother of Yusuf alayhi salam. Because he was from this tribe, they did not accept his authority over them. So the chiefs, the people, did not accept the authority of Talut because he was from the tribe of Binyamin. And this tribe did not have a lot of status in society. And you will notice, inshallah, when you study Surah Yusuf, how from the beginning there were problems between, conflicts between the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam and Yusuf alayhi salam and his younger brother Binyamin. From the beginning, throughout history, you will notice how this was prevalent as well. So later on as well, the other tribes were not willing to accept his authority because he was from the tribe of Binyamin. So three tribes I have mentioned. Number one, Banu Lawi, from which the prophets descended. Number two, Banu Yehuda, from which the leaders descended. And thirdly, Binyamin, his tribe, which did not have status in the society. And so they said, we are more worthy of kingship. We're more worthy of authority than he is. So this was the first objection, that he does not have a good nasl. He does not have a good lineage. Whereas in Islam, authority, leadership is not based on a person's lineage. It is based on what? Qualities. It is based on merit. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, after, during his lifetime, at the end, he did not appoint his son as the Khalifa after him. Who did he appoint? Umar radiallahu anhu, based on merit. Umar radiallahu anhu did not appoint his son as the Khalifa after him. Who did he appoint? He left behind a committee who, through Shura, appointed Uthman radiallahu anhu, based on merit. So in Islam, there is no concept of monarchy. Rather, leadership is based on a person's qualities, the skills that he has, based on the merit that Allah has given to him. So they said, وَنَحْنُ أَحَقُّ بِالْمُلْكِ مِنْهُ. We are more worthy of kingship than him. Then the second objection. This was their first objection. Second objection, وَلَمْ يُؤْتَ سَعَةً مِنَ الْمَالِ. And he has not been given any measure of wealth. So what was their criteria of leadership? Wealth. He does not have a lot of wealth, therefore he should not be appointed as a king over us. And it is said that Talut was not very well off. In fact, he was poor. And it is said that, according to some scholars, that he would bring water for the people. And according to some other scholars, it is said that his profession was dyeing skins, coloring skins. And so they thought that he does not have ample wealth. He does not have a lot of money in order to help those who are under him. Therefore, he should not be the king. Now notice how instead of Bani Israel obeying their messenger, listening to him, what are they doing here? Objecting. We're more worthy of kingship. He does not have any wealth. Qala, he said, who the messenger said to them firmly, decisively, إِنَّ اللَّهَ هَسْطَفَاهُ عَلَيْكُمْ. Indeed, Allah has chosen him over you. Why are you objecting? Why are you questioning? Why are you saying this and this? Why don't you accept his kingship over you? Because it is Allah who has appointed him over you. Allah has chosen him. وَزَادَهُ بَسْطَةً فِي الْعِلْمِ وَالْجِسْمِ, and has increased him abundantly in knowledge and stature. Allah has given him knowledge and physical strength. So here the qualities of Talut are mentioned. And what is the reality? وَاللَّهُ يُؤْتِي مُلْكَهُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ, and Allah gives his sovereignty to whom he wills. It is his decision. This is not my decision. I did not choose to appoint him as a king over you. But Allah, who is all-knowing, all-knowledgeable, he has appointed him as a king over you. وَاللَّهُ وَاسِعٌ عَلِيمٌ, and Allah is all-encompassing, in favor, and alim, all-knowing. And notice how these attributes are mentioned at the end. Even if you do not understand the wisdom behind this decision, what should you do? Accept this. Why? Because Allah is all-knowing. He knows and you do not know. He knows why he has appointed him as a king over you, even if you don't understand the wisdom. And here two specific qualities are mentioned. Number one, al-ilm, knowledge is mentioned. And number two, al-jism, physical strength. These two qualities are very, very important in a leader. A leader should have knowledge and he should also have physical strength. Now if a leader is weak, he cannot walk properly, he's lazy, does not eat properly, how can he lead a group of people? Similarly, if he does not have knowledge, if he does not have wisdom, how can he lead a group of people? So these two qualities, al-ilm and al-jism. وَقَالَ لَهُمْ نَبِيُّهُمْ, and their prophet said to them. So after advising the people, he said to them, إِنَّ آيَةَ مُلْكِهِ أَن يَأْتِيَكُمُ التَّابُوتِ, indeed a sign of his kingship is that the chest will come to you. Now why do you think the messenger said this to the people? A sign of his kingship is that the tabut will be brought back to you. It will reappear before you. So number one, they were not listening to the messenger. Secondly, they were not accepting his leadership, and so they said, we want to see a sign. When we see this sign, then we'll believe in the kingship of Talut and in the prophethood of the prophet. And so the messenger, the prophet, says to them that indeed a sign of his kingship is that the tabut will be brought to you. Meaning when the tabut is brought to you, you will know that indeed he's a king appointed by Allah. Now what is this tabut? This tabut is basically a chest, a box that Bani Israel would take with them when they went to battles. Whenever they would go out for a battle, they would take this chest with them because it contains sakina, a source of comfort. Now where did this chest go? There are two opinions that are found with regards to this. Some scholars have said that when the Amalekites attacked Bani Israel, when they plundered their houses, took their children, killed their children, at the same time, they also took this chest. They took this tabut away from Bani Israel. Some others have said that this tabut was lost from Bani Israel. It was forgotten. It was left in the plain of Sinai, the wilderness. So when Bani Israel were in the desert for 40 years, at that time, this tabut, this chest, was lost. So it is said here, the prophet is saying to them, that indeed a sign of his kingship is that this chest will come to you. Now notice how it has come down to this stage where the prophet is telling them, this is a sign, because they were not willing to listen. And who are these people? People of the book. Messengers were sent to them one after another, and they were Bani Israel. They had a habit of doing this. Have you read something similar before this in Surah Al-Baqarah? What did they say to the Messenger Musa alayhi salam? لَن نُؤْمِنَ لَكَ حَتَّى نَرَى اللَّهَ جَهْرًا. We will not believe you until we see Allah openly in front of us. Same Bani Israel, with the same habits. Later on, after the time of Musa alayhi salam, they're saying the same things. We want a sign. So the sign is that the tabut will be returned to you. What is this tabut? فِيهِ سَكِينَةٌ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ. In which is assurance from your Lord. In which is peace and contentment from your Lord. What is meant by this? Number one, peace and contentment with the decision of appointing Talut as a king. Meaning when this box, this tabut is returned to you, it will be a source of peace and contentment that yes, this was the right decision. That he is appointed as a king over us. Secondly, فِيهِ سَكِينَةٌ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ is referring to those objects that were in this chest that were a source of peace when they looked at them. When they looked at the things that were in this chest, in this tabut, it was a source of comfort for them. فِيهِ سَكِينَةٌ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ. And then this also refers to some special help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that aided them on the battlefield. Because as mentioned earlier, they would take this tabut with them to the battlefield. So there was some sakina, some special help that would come to them by means of this box. فِيهِ سَكِينَةٌ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ. What else is this tabut? What does it contain? وَبَقِيَّةٌ مِّمَّا تَرَكَ آلُ مُوسَى وَآلُ هَارُونَ. And a remnant of what the family of Musa and the family of Harun had left. Some artifacts, some remnants. What were these remnants? What did this chest, this tabut contain? It is said that this tabut contained the staff of Musa alayhi salam. It contained the Torah, the turban of Harun alayhi salam, and it is also said the shoes of Musa alayhi salam, his sandals. Sufyan al-Thawri, a great muhaddith, a great scholar of Islam, he says, some said that this tabut contained a pot of man, meaning man and salwa, a pot of manna in particular, and the remnants of the tablets. While some others said that it contained the staff of Musa and two shoes, two sandals, and these two sandals are mentioned in Surah Taha. This is what the scholars have said. However, the Quran is silent. The Quran does not give us details as to what was contained in this box. All we know that this box had sakina in it, and secondly, it had some remnants from the family of Musa and from the family of Harun alayhi salam. And this box, this chest, was carried by the angels. تَحْمِلُهُ الْمَلَائِكَ, carried by the angels. So the angels brought down this tabut, this box. So this tabut was made to reappear before Bani Israel as a sign of the kingship of Talut. So this is the first meaning. So it was a miracle that the angels, they brought down the tabut, and this was a sign of the truthfulness of the kingship of Talut. And the second meaning is that the king who was appointed over them, under his leadership, Bani Israel would be successful against the enemy. So when this leader, the king who is appointed over them, will take them out for the battle, they will be successful, and as a result, the angels will bring down the tabut, meaning the tabut will be returned to them, and the angels will carry them. تَحْمِلُهُ الْمَلَائِكَ. Did you get the two meanings? Number one, it is a miracle from Allah that the angels, they brought down the tabut, and this was a sign. Sign of what? The kingship of Talut, that Allah appointed him as a king over them. Secondly, the second meaning, the king who has been appointed over them is going to make you victorious. So under his leadership, you'll be victorious, and as a result, you will get back the tabut. As a result, you will get back the tabut, and the angels will carry it. What does this tell us? That the angels are obedient to Allah. They do not disobey any command. This will be with the command of Allah, and they will bring down the tabut. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said, the angels came down while carrying the tabut between the sky and the earth. The angels came down while carrying the tabut between the sky and the earth. until they placed it before Talut while the people were watching. So they saw this miracle, they saw it with their own eyes, the angels coming down with this tabut. Imam As-Suddi, a mufassir of the Quran, he says, the tabut was brought to Talut's house. This tabut was brought down to Talut's house, so the people believed in the prophethood of Shem'un and obeyed Talut. So on one side, they believed in the prophethood of the Prophet, and on the other side, they believed in the kingship of Talut. Allah says, إِنَّ فِي ذَٰلِكَ لَآيَةً لَكُمْ. Indeed, in that is a sign for you. Sign of what? Of the truthfulness of the Prophet and the kingship of Talut. إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. If you are believers. If you are believers, if you should have iman, then there is a huge sign in this for you. You will take a lesson from this. Because otherwise, what would a person say if he does not have iman? What did the people say when they saw Musa alayhi salam's staff turn into a snake and the white hand? They called him a magician. They called it magic. Similarly, what did the people of Makkah say when they saw the splitting of the moon, a clear miracle? Sihrum mustamir. It is a continuous magic. So they termed it as magic. So here Allah is saying, if you should have iman, there's a sign in this for you. And this is what happened when the tabut was returned to them. The people did believe in the truthfulness of the Prophet and also affirmed the kingship of Talut. We'll listen to the recitation up until here.
أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الْمَلَإِ مِنْ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مُوسَى إِذْ قَالُوا لِنَبِيٍّ لَهُمْ بَعَثْ لَنَا مَلِكًا نُقَاتِلْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ قَالَ هَلْ عَسَيْتُمْ إِن كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْقِتَالُ أَلَّا تُقَاتِلُوا قَالُوا وَمَا لَنَا أَلَّا نُقَاتِلَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَقَدْ أُخْرِجْنَا مِنْ دِيَارِنَا وَأَبْنَائِنَا فَلَمَّا كُتِبَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْقِتَالُ تَوَلَّوْا إِلَّا قَلِيلًا مِّنْهُمْ وَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ بِالظَّالِمِينَ وقال لهم نبيهم إن الله قد بعث لكم طالوت ملكا قالوا أنى يكون له الملك علينا ونحن أحق بالملك منه ولم يؤت سعة من المال قال إن الله اصطفاه عليكم وزاده بسطة في العلم والجسم والله يؤتي ملكه من يشاء والله واسع عليم وقال لهم نبيهم إن آية ملكه أن يأتيكم التابوت فيه سكينة من ربكم وبقية مما ترك آل موسى وآل هارون تحمله الملائكة إن في ذلك لآية لكم إن كنتم مؤمنين.
So what happened then? فَلَمَّا سُوَنْ فَصَلَ. He departed. فَصَلَ from the root فَصَلَ لَمْ. فَصَلَ basically means to cut something. And we did the word فِصَالًا earlier. فِصَالًا means what? Weaning. When a child is being taken off breastfeeding. So the mother and the child are being separated in a way. So فَصَلَ, he separated, meaning he departed. He set out. Who set out? طَالُوتُ طَالُوتُ. From where? From wherever they were. How did he leave? With who? بِالْجُنُودِ, with the armies. جُنُود is the plural of the word جُند. جُنُود is the plural of the word جُند. And جُند is used for army. So he left out with his armies. A whole lot of people, they left out. For what? For the battle. قَالَ, he said. Who said? طَالُوت said to his people, إِنَّ اللَّهَ, indeed Allah, مُبْتَلِيكُمْ, one who tests you, one who tries you. Mubtali. Mubtali is from balam, well. Balam, well. Bala yablu. Bala'an. Bala is trial. A trial in which there is difficulty. So Allah is going to test you. Allah is going to try you. Binahar, with a nahar, meaning through a nahar. A nahar is used for a river as well as for a stream. So there is a stream that is going to come and Allah is going to test you. Faman, so whoever, shariba, he drank. Shariba from the root, shinuraba. Whoever drank, minhu, from it. From what? From that stream, from that river. Falaysa, then he is not, minni, from me. Whoever drinks from that river, he is not of me. What is meant by he is not of me? Of my followers. He cannot stay with me anymore. Anyone who drinks from that river is not staying with me. And on the other hand, waman, and whoever, lam not, yat'amhu, he tastes it. Fa'innahu, then indeed he, minni, from me. Whoever does not, yat'amhu, then he will be of me. Yat'am, from the root ta, ayn, mim, ta'am. Ta'am. Ta'am is used for food, but it's also used for water. Remember, zamzam, ta'am ut'amin. The ta'am of the one who eats it. And the story of that sahabi, who drank zamzam for many days, and he said that at the end, that he had actually gained weight. So, yata'amhu, over here, gives the meaning of, he tastes it. Meaning, because you can't literally eat water, okay, and the word shariba has not been used. So, you see, like, for example, sometimes you have a liquid, you have a drink, but it's like a meal. It's literally like a meal, in a cup. For example, Slim Fast, but you know those drinks with high fiber and a lot of vegetables and protein shakes and, you know, all such things, what do? They're literally like a meal. They're literally a meal. You drink it, but it's like a meal for you. Okay? So, وَمَنْ لَمْ يَطَعَمْهُ, and whoever does not taste it, whoever does not have the water from that river, فَإِنَّهُ مِنِّي, then indeed he is from me. إِلَّا except. Now imagine, you're going for a battle, and there's a whole lot of you, and there's a river. Obviously you're going to be thirsty, so they're given permission to drink a little bit. How much is a little bit? إِلَّا except مَنْ هُ اِغْتَرَفَ. He scooped a handful. He scooped in his hand. اِغْتَرَفَ, from the root غَيْن رَافَ. غَيْن رَافَ, غُرْف. غُرْف is to scoop out. So he scooped out. How much does he scoop out? غُرْفَةً, a handful. بِيَدِهِ, in his hand. غُرْفَ is also from the same root, غَيْن رَافَ. So he scoops out a handful in his hand. يَدِهِ, yad, one hand, not two hands. غُرْفَةً بِيَدِهِ. So just enough to fill your mouth. Okay? How much water can you literally drink from your hand? How much? Just a little bit. Imagine when you're doing wudu and you're rinsing your mouth, so that much water you can put in your mouth. So إِلَّا مَنْ يَغْتَرَفَ غُرْفَةً بِيَدِي. So Allah says, فَشَّرِبُوا, so they drank. All of them drank. مِنْهُ, from it. From what? From the river. إِلَّا except قَلِيلًا, few, مِنْهُمْ, from them. So imagine, initially there was a whole lot of people who came, we want to go fight. When they were told to go fight, most of them said, no, we're not going. Some of them went. Some of them went, of them they were being tested. And now over here, most of them drank and only a few were left behind. So this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses out the pure, selects out the pure. إِلَّا قَلِيلًا مِّنْهُمْ. فَلَمَّا, so when, جَاوَزَهُ, he crossed it. جَاوَزَ, from the root, جِيم وَاو زَي. جِيم وَاو زَي. And جَاوَزَ means to cross. جَاوَزَ, to cross, to pass over. So جَاوَزَهُ, he crossed it, he passed over it. Who crossed over what? طالوت, with his army, crossed over the river. Crossed over the river. Who are he? Huwa refers to Talut, وَالَّذِينَ, and those who amanu, they believed, ma'ahu, with him, meaning his army. When they crossed the river, قَالُوا, they said, لَا طَاقَةَ. لَا, not طَاقَةَ, any strength, any power. طَاقَةَ, from the root طَاوَلْ قَافْ. طَاقَة, ability. power. We have no power. We have no strength. Lana, for us, al-yawma, today. Al-yawm literally means the day. Okay? Al means the yawm, day. And the word al-yawm together is also used for today. This day. Okay? So we have no power today against who? Against Bijalut, with Jalut. Jalut is the leader of the opposing army. Okay? Jalut is the leader of the opposing army. So we have no strength to fight against Jalut, Wajunudihi, and his armies. We have no strength left. We are very tired. We are exhausted. So what happened? Qala, he said. Who said? Alladina, those people who? Yazunnuna, they have conviction. Yazunnun, dhanunun, dhan to think, to assume, and when followed by anna, like over here, it means to have certainty. So yazunnuna annahum, they were certain that they were going to. They were going to do what? Mulaqu, ones who meet. Mulaqu is a plural of mulaqin. And mulaqin, one who does liqa, one who meets. So they were certain that they were going to meet who? Allah, Allah. They said, come how many? Min from fi'atin group. Come is a question for how. Okay? Come means how. Sometimes it is used to ask for how many, like for example, how many people were there, and you say five people were there. It's a question. Okay? And sometimes it is used to express a great number. Other times, it is used to express a large number. So come how many men from fi'atin group. Over here actually it gives a meaning of large number. That there are so many groups of people. Come min fi'atin qalilatin. So many groups of people who were few in number. Okay? So many groups of people who were few in number. The word fi'a is from the root fa'ya hamza. Fa, ya, hamza. Fa means to return, and fi'a is used for a group of people because they return to each other. Kam min fi'atin, how many groups of people? And these groups of people, how many were they in number? They were qalila, little, few in number. Like for example, hundreds and thousands of groups of people, and in that group there were only 10 people, let's say. 10 is a very little number. So such groups, how many times has this happened that such groups, ghalabat, it dominated? Ghalabat from the root, ghain lamba, ghalba. Ghalba is to gain victory over the other, to dominate over the other. So ghalabat, it gained victory over who? Over fi'atan, a group, kasiratan, many. Over a group of people who were many in number. So many incidents in history when small groups of people took over large groups of people. How? Bi-izni, with permission, Allahi of Allah. And they say, Wallahu and Allah, ma' is with as-sabirin, those who are patient. What you need is sabr. And then you will be successful. You don't really need numbers, you need sabr. So then what happened? Walamma, and when, barazu, they became apparent. They came forth. Who does they refer to? It refers to the Muslim army, the believers' army, the army of Talut. Barazu is from the root bara, zay. Ba, ra, zay, buruz. Buruz is to come to view. What does it mean? To come to view. Basically, the word baraz is used for open, wide land. It is used for open land. And anything in open land is going to be in view. It's going to be obvious. So, barazu, meaning they came to view, they emerged, they went forth to face. Okay, the believer's army. What did they do? They went forth in order to face. To face who? لِجَالُوتَ to Jalut, وَجِلُوتِهِ and his armies. So the army of Talut went forward to face the army of Jalut. Why did they want to face them? Obviously for the purpose of battle. قَالُوا, they said. In other words, when they came face to face with the opposing army, the believer said, رَبَّنَا, O our Rabb, أَفْرِغْ, you pour. أَفْرِغْ from the root فَارَ غَيْن, فَرَغَ. فَرَغَ means to be empty. And it also means to pour out something. Imagine you have a jug full of water, and you pour it out completely. At the end, the jug is going to be empty. So, afrigh gives meaning of you pour down on us. Give us a lot. Literally pour down on us. Unload on us. Unload what on us? Sabra, patience. So, afrigh alayna sabra, pour forth patience on us. Just fill us up with patience. Give us all the patience. Wathabbit, and you make firm. Sabbit from the root, sabata. Sabat means firmness, to stand firm. So, sabbit, you make firm. Aqdamana, our feet. Aqdam, plural of qadam. Qadam is used for foot. So, aqdam, feet. Make our feet firm. Give us firmness in this battle. What does it mean? If I make firm our feet, that don't make us lose our heart, that we turn away. We turn back. Wansurna, and you help us. Ala, against. Al-Qawm, the people. Which people? Al-Kafirin, the disbelieving.
Let's listen to the recitation of these verses.
فَلَمَّا فَصَلَ طَالُوتُ بِالْجُنُودِ قَالَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مُبْتَلِيكُمْ بِنَهَرٍ فَمَنْ شَرِبَ مِنْهُ فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي وَمَنْ لَمْ يَطْعَمْهُ فَإِنَّهُ مِنِّي إِلَّا مَنْ اغْتَرَفَ غُرْفَةً بِيَدِهِ فَشَرِبُوا مِنْهُ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا مِنْهُمْ فَلَمَّا جَاوَزَهُ هُوَ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَعَهُ قَالُوا لَا طَاقَةَ لَنَا الْيَوْمَ بِجَالُوتَ وَجُنُودِهِ قَالَ الَّذِينَ يَظُنُّونَ أَنَّهُمْ مُلَاقُوا اللَّهِ كَمْ مِنْ فِئَةٍ قَلِيلَةٍ غَلَبَتْ فِئَةً كَثِيرَةً بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ وَلَمَّا بَرَزُوا لِجَالُوتَ وَجُنُودِهِ قَالُوا رَبَّنَا أَفْرِغْ عَلَيْنَا صَبْرًا وَثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَنَا وَانْصُرْنَا عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ.
Verse number 249. If you miss anything from word analysis, you can catch up on it afterwards. You can ask one of your friends. فَلَمَّا فَصَلَ طَالُوتُ بِالْجُنُودِ, and when طَالُوت went forth with the soldiers. So طَالُوت was appointed as a king over the people, Bani Israel. They accepted his kingship. Now he's taking the army with him. So he's taking forth the army. So when طَالُوت went forth with the soldiers, it is said that approximately there were 70,000 people in this army. قَالَ, he said. Who said? طَالُوت said. إِنَّ اللَّهَ مُبْتَلِيكُمْ بِنَهَرٍ, indeed Allah will be testing you with a river. Notice how at the beginning of these verses the qualities of طَالُوت were mentioned, al-ilm and al-jism, knowledge and physical strength. Here his knowledge is coming to light, his insight, his wisdom. That when he's taking his army forth, he's advising them, telling them, warning them, that indeed Allah will test you with a river. Because whenever a person goes out in the way of Allah, he will definitely be tested. Why will he be tested? To see how truthful he is in his claim. You made the claim that you want to fight. You made great claims, so now Allah will test you. Similarly, in our lives as well, we make great claims that I will do such and such. I'm going to do that and I'm going to do this. And then a test comes in our life. Why? To see how truthful we are. How honest are we in what we're saying? So this army, they went forth. طَالُوت is telling them, warning them, that you will definitely be tested. إِنَّ اللَّهَ مُبْتَلِيكُمْ بِنَهَرٍ, Allah will test you with a river. And he also tells them of the test. Sometimes we do not recognize the test in our life. But here طَالُوت is telling them, this is the test. Now when you know what a test is, what do then? You prepare for it, you become alert. Okay, this is the test, this is how I need to behave. This is what I need to do. They were told what the test is. You will be tested with a river. فَمَنْ شَرِبَ مِنْهُ, so whoever drinks from it, whoever drinks from this river, فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي, he is not of me, meaning he will not accompany me. People are tested with different things. Here an army is going forth, and as mentioned in Word analysis as well, whenever a person leaves his house and is embarking on a very difficult expedition, does he feel hungry? Think about yourselves when you leave your houses and come here. Around 12 o'clock, 12:30, you start feeling hungry and thirsty, and that's why we have the break around that time. Similarly, they left their houses, they're going on an expedition to fight an enemy, they're traveling by foot, they felt hungry, they felt thirsty, but a test came along the way. You will come across a river, but do not drink from it. And whoever drinks from it is not of me, meaning he will not come with me further after that. Is water something that is unlawful? It is haram? No, it is not haram. It is not something unlawful. But over here, the same lawful water became a test for them, that you're not supposed to drink from it. This was the test, and it was the will of Allah. فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي, whoever drinks is not of me. وَمَنْ لَمْ يَطْعَمْهُ, and whoever does not take it, so whoever does not taste it, does not consume it, what? This water, فَإِنَّهُ مِنِّي, indeed he is of me. So the one who drinks from it is not of me, he will not accompany, and the one who does not drink from it, he will accompany, he will come with me. إِلَّا مَنْ اِخْتَرَفَ غُرْفَةً بِيَدِهِ, excepting one who takes from it in the hollow of his hand. So he can only drink a little to satisfy himself. Generally, the army was not allowed to drink from the water, this was the test, except for a scoopful. How much can you drink? A scoopful, not more than that. Just enough to satisfy your thirst. And that is a scoopful. إِلَّا مَنْ اِخْتَرَفَ غُرْفَةً بِيَدِهِ. But what did they do? فَشَّرِبُوا مِنْ, but they drank from it. Most of them drank from the river. They were not able to control themselves. They were not able to have patience at that moment. They did not pass the test. إِلَّا قَلِيلًا مِنْهُمْ, except a very few of them. Majority of them failed, the minority passed. Only a few of them did not drink from the river except for a handful. They restricted themselves to only one scoop. فَلَمَّا جَاوَزَهُ هُوَ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَعَهُ, then when he had crossed it along with those who believed with him. When Talut had crossed the river along with those who had believed in him, and who were those who believed in him? Meaning those who listened to him, those who passed the test, those who drank from the river, only a scoopful and not more than that. They passed the test and they went on with Talut. And it is said there were approximately 300 in number. It is said that the entire army was approximately 70,000 in number. How many went forth? Approximately only 300, not more than that. قالوا, they said, who? These believers, those who were with Talut, they said, لا طاقة لنا اليوم, there's no power for us today. لا طاقة لنا اليوم بجالوت وجنوده, there's no power, no authority for us today against Jalut and his soldiers. These same believers, after passing one test, they're put into another difficulty, another test. Because a believer's life is filled with tests, one test after another. You go through one test, after you're done, like, alhamdulillah, now I can relax. No more difficulties, no more problems. The next day, another test. The day after that, another test. Until when? Until a person enters Jannah. This is the life of a believer. One difficulty, one hardship. That's not even over, another hardship. But what is the beauty about the manner of a believer? How is his case very, very strange or different than the cases of other people? When something good happens, he's grateful. And when a difficulty or hardship strikes him, he does sabr. He is patient. He does not complain. He does not wail. He does not cry that, why did this happen? Oh Allah, why did you do this? No, he accepts the situation. So here we see, on one side, the believers, they pass one test, then another test, and they're saying, so when they see the number of the army of Jalut, right away they say, we cannot stand against him. When they see their own number, and then they see the army of Jalut, we cannot fight him. There's no power for us today against Jalut and his soldiers. So they felt a slight apprehension in their heart. a fear in their heart. And this is something that's very, very natural. Put yourself in that position where, let's say, you're only 10 people and you're facing thousands and thousands of people. Would you have a slight fear in your heart? They were true believers, but they had this fear. This was one group of believers. قَالَ الَّذِينَ يَظُنُّونَ أَنَّهُمُ لَاقُوا اللَّهِ. But those who were certain that they would meet Allah, they said. So those who had firm conviction, firm belief that one day we have to meet our Lord, will stand before our Lord on the Day of Judgment. They believe in resurrection, in death, in accountability. What did they say? Were they apprehensive? Did they have this fear that we will die? What will happen to us? We cannot fight Him. No, of course not. Because of the conviction that they had. Instead, they said, كَمْ مِنْ فِئَةٍ قَلِيلَةٍ غَلَبَتْ فِئَةً كَثِيرَةً بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. How many small company has overcome, has dominated a large company by permission of Allah? A small group of people overpowering a larger group of people. And this has happened many, many times. And when does this happen? How does this happen? بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ, with Allah's permission, by His leave, with His command. From this we learn that even among believers, there are different levels. So here, there was a test. Do not drink from the river, except for a handful, a scoopful. Most of them drank from it. Only a few did not drink. And so they passed the test. They went on forward. Another test, when they were about to face the army of Jalut. At that time, the believers divided into two groups. One of them had the fear in their heart. We have no power, we have no strength against Jalut and his army. Another group of people, what did they say? How many a small company has overcome a large company with Allah's permission? Why did they say this? What made them say this? What is the special quality that these group of people have? The taqwa, the firm conviction, the certainty that we have to meet our Lord. Then why fear death if we have to meet Him anyways? Why run away from sacrificing in His way? And then they say, how many a small company, كَمْ مِنْ فِئَةٍ قَلِيلَةٍ غَلَبَتْ فِئَةٍ كَثِيرَةً بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. Why is all of this mentioned? Going back to right at the beginning of the lesson, أَلَمْ تَرَ? Have you not considered? Do you not reflect? Do you not ponder? So that we extract a lesson for ourselves. And the primary addressee of these verses are who? The Sahaba, the companions of the Prophet ﷺ. After that, all of us are addressed. If you think about the time of the Prophet ﷺ, as mentioned, the Muslims migrated from Mecca to Medina after much hardship and difficulty, after bearing everything with patience. Now they're in Medina. Now they're being tested with a different test. The people of Mecca, they're coming in to Medina and fighting them, attacking them. So all of this is mentioned as a lesson for them, that you do not lose heart, you do not give up, you do not turn back from the battlefield. Because only a few years later, the Battle of Badr took place. How many believers were there at that time? Approximately 313 to 317 believers, Muslims on one side, and how many disbelievers? Three times their number. Three times the number of the Muslims. So 300 times 3, approximately 1,000. So what is the lesson in this for the Muslims? As mentioned earlier as well, the Muslim situation in Medina was very similar to the situation of Bani Israel that is mentioned here. When this group of people saw Jalut and his army, they said, we cannot stand against him because of their huge numbers. The Muslims are about to face the disbelievers in Medina at Badr. And they're three times their number. They're only 300. Do not give up. Remain steadfast. Be patient. Rely upon Allah. Trust upon Him. And He will help you. Because how many times has it been that a smaller company of people have overcome a larger group of people? When does this happen? Bi-idhnillah, with His permission. Because many times a person has a huge group of people, but nothing happens. He's not successful. For example, at the Battle of Hunayn. At the Battle of Hunayn, at the beginning, the Muslims were losing. Why were they losing? Weren't they more in number than the enemy? The difference was that at that time, they were relying upon their number, that we are large in number. And so initially they were losing, but later on when they realized, Allah gave them success. At Badr, there were only 300 against a huge number of people, but Allah gave them success. Why was this? Because of the conviction that they had that they will meet Allah, the sincerity that they had, and so Allah gave them this victory. Wallahu ma'a as-sabirin, and Allah is with the patient. Allah is with those who are steadfast, meaning Allah's help is with such people. Now these words are golden words. The entire Quran is a golden word, but specifically these verses. كَمْ مِنْ فِئَةٍ قَلِيلَةٍ غَلَبَتْ فِئَةٍ كَثِيرَةً بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. Write this down somewhere and look at it every single day to remind yourself. In anything that you do, yes, here the specific context is a battle, but generally as well, how can we apply this to our life? Whenever you're about to do anything, sometimes we get disheartened when we look at our number. For example, you want to do a project, you want to work, but when you look at your number, 3 people, 4 people, 5 people, you say, you know what, this can never happen. Let's just forget it. But what should you think at that time? If I have sincerity, if I have firm yaqeen in Allah, this can happen. If I have sabr, Allah will help me. So do not look at the lack of resources, but rather look at Allah's help. Trust upon Him. Wallahu ma'a as-sabirin, and Allah is with the patient. Always keep this in mind. If you want Allah's help to come to you, have this quality of sabr. Be patient upon difficulty, upon hardship. So here 2 reasons are mentioned for success. Number one, Allah's permission. The reasons for success. Number one, Allah's permission, His help. And number two, sabr, patience. Allah says in the Quran, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ حَتَّى نَعْلَمَ الْمُجَاهِدِينَ مِنْكُمْ وَالصَّابِرِينَ وَنَبْلُوَ أَخْبَارَكُمْ. Meaning Allah will definitely test the people. Allah will test, and we will surely test you until we make evident those who strive among you for the cause of Allah and the patient. So those who strive in Allah's cause will be tested, and those who have patience will also be tested, and we will test your affairs. Why will this test take place? What is the reason behind a test? To sift between the pure and the impure. To sift between those who are truthful and those who are lying in their claims. Many a times we make a claim, a very huge and big claim, that I love Allah. I love the Messenger of Allah. Are we tested in these claims? How are we tested? Sometimes when we leave our houses in the way of Allah, we face a difficulty. What is the test? To see if we will remain firm or not. Do we still stay connected to the Quran? Or do we leave the Quran, blame Allah, and turn away? We're saying that we love Allah, but are we true in this claim? Similarly, the Messenger of Allah, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, if we're following a sunnah and we're made fun of, is that a test? Yes, we're being tested. People become a test sometimes. Do we stick to the sunnah, or do we abandon it, thinking that it's too difficult in this time, people make fun of me, it's not applicable? Wallahu ma'a as-sabirin. Those who have sabr at such a situation, because sabr is also an act of goodness, Allah's help will definitely come to them. Yes, if people make fun of you, you face difficulties from one person, from another person, if you have this sabr, indeed you will be victorious, will be successful at the end. Then Allah says, وَلَمَّا بَرَزُوا لِجَالُوتَ وَجُنُودِهِ. And when they went forth to face Jalut and his soldiers. So when the army went forth to face Jalut and his army, at that time they made a dua, a very beautiful dua. قَالُوا, they said. The believers said at that moment when they saw the army in front of them, رَبَّنَا أَفْرِغْ عَلَيْنَا سَبَرًا. Our Lord, pour upon us patience. Fill us with patience. Give us patience in abundance. رَبَّنَا أَفْرِغْ عَلَيْنَا سَبَرًا. So that we do not run away from the battlefield. So that you make us steadfast. وَثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَنَا. And plant firmly our feet. Give us istiqamah. Make our feet firm. وَانْصُرْنَا عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ. And give us victory over the disbelieving people. So at that moment, these believers did not look at their number, did not rely upon anything else, upon their own strength, upon their army. But immediately they turned to Allah when they saw the army of Jalut. O Allah, pour upon us patience. Give us sabr. وَثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَنَا وَانْصُرْنَا عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ. What do we learn from this verse? There are times of difficulty, times of hardship when a person turns to Allah, makes dua to Him alone, Allah will give him sabr. And we should ask Allah alone for sabr. If we find it difficult to be sometimes patient in certain situations, and all of you can think about a difficulty in your life. Because the Quran was revealed so that we take a lesson from it. Apply these verses to your life. Think about any hardship that you're going through, a difficulty that you're facing. In the midst of that difficulty, what should you do? Normally, what do people do? Because the question why is always asked. Can you give me a practical example of a difficulty, a hardship? If you're not raising your hand, that means, alhamdulillah, you have no difficulties. So for example, if you have children, you're coming to school, your car breaks down, number one, you reach school, and your children, they create a mess, so one thing after another, that's a difficulty, a hardship. What do people usually do at that time? They usually don't scream. I think screaming would be a very extreme reaction. But normally, what do people do? Oh, not again, for example.
Assalamu alaikum. I was thinking patience is key to success. If something happens and then you lose yourself, you begin to yell at people and make noise, it means that you don't have patience. The best way out in everything, especially like even if you have to deal with children, you have to be positive and have patience. And you can't have patience, trust me, unless you are positive. In every situation, try to be positive. There is khair for me. There is khair in this. And because passion is the way out for everything. In jihad, in at homes, with the husband, with the children. Always have patience, because Allah promised that for those who are patient, there is a reward without hisab. And the promise of Allah is true. So always think of the reward of the patient, inshallah.
Any other examples? And especially in the day and age that we live on, sometimes we don't even call someone and tell them about Facebook, and my status is complain one, complain two, whatever we write. I mean, we, our MSN, we have our status. If something that happened in our life that was very difficult, hard for us, we cannot bear it. Our initial reaction should be what? As-sabru in the sadmatil ula. Sabr is at the first stroke of calamity. Not after complaining, going to so-and-so, telling them about this, telling her about that. But immediately, patience. Alhamdulillah. Any difficulty, any hardship. Your car broke down, alhamdulillah. You did not get a good mark on your test, alhamdulillah. Not blame the group in charge. She's not fair, the other one was marking better. No. Alhamdulillah. I should work on myself. So tawakkul and sabr go hand in hand. There's a huge lesson in this for us, that we should work on our level of patience. And if we are finding it difficult, because it's very easy to say one thing, but when you're in that situation, at that time you know how difficult it is to be patient. So if you find it difficult to be patient, that's a difficulty in itself, what should you do? Make dua to Allah. Which dua? This dua. رَبَّنَا أَفْرِغْ عَلَيْنَا صَبْرًا. Our Lord, pour upon us sabr, pour upon us patience, وَثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَنَا, and also give us firmness. Plant our feet firmly. وَانْصُرْنَا عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ, and give us victory over the disbelieving people. We'll listen to the recitation up until here.
فَلَمَّا فَصَلَ طَالُوتُ بِالْجُنُودِ قَالَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مُبْتَلِيكُمْ بِنَهَرٍ فَمَنْ شَرِبَ مِنْهُ فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي وَمَنْ لَمْ يَطْعَمْهُ فَإِنَّهُ مِنِّي إِلَّا مَنْ اغْتَرَفَ غُرْفَةً بِيَدِهِ فَشَرِبُوا مِنْهُ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا مِنْهُمْ فَلَمَّا جَاوَزَهُ هُوَ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَعَهُ قَالُوا لَا طَاقَةَ لَنَا الْيَوْمَ بِجَالُوتَ وَجُنُودِهِ قَالَ الَّذِينَ يَظُنُّونَ أَنَّهُمْ مُلَاقُوا اللَّهِ كَمْ مِنْ فِئَةٍ قَلِيلَةٍ غَلَبَتْ فِئَةً كَثِيرَةً بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ وَلَمَّا برزوا لجالوت وجنوده قالوا ربنا أفرغ علينا صبرا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. While sister was telling the reason for success, and I was writing down two things. One is Allah's permission, and the other is patience, right? The key for success, you need two things. And many times we complain, oh Allah, yes, there are so many virtues for sabr, but it's hard, right? It is hard. And on some other places, even it is mentioned that it is one of the azmul umur. And of course, Allah knows it too, that it is hard. But I was thinking again that Allah's permission, yes, it comes with Allah's permission. Well, you don't have control on it. But what we can do on our own, that we can start doing it. Take your turn. Take one step. And let's see what Allah's turn comes or not. And have the strong conviction in it. When you take your turn, Allah takes its turn right away.
Assalamu alaikum. This is based on a video in somewhat way. There's two ayahs in the Quran. بَلْ تُحِبُّونَ الْعَاجِلَةِ وَتَذَرُونَ الْآخِرَةِ. Rather, you prefer the ajila, the worldly life, the close and worldly life, and you left al-akhirah, the hereafter. So if you compare it, if you prefer alcohol in this dunya, will you be deprived of it in the akhirah? Yes, you will. If you prefer zina in this dunya, will the men be deprived of the hurs in the akhirah? Yes, they will. If you prefer to gaze at men in this dunya, will you be deprived of gazing at Allah in the akhirah? Most likely you will. And if you prefer to cheat on tests in this dunya, or your tafsir test or anything, will you probably fail in the test in the akhirah? Maybe you will. If you don't decide to do sajda in this dunya and pray, will you be deprived of doing sajda in the akhirah? Yes, you will. It's just a reflection.
Very much linked to sabr, because sabr is on acts of obedience and also acts of disobedience, to stay away from them. So ask Allah for sabr, because sabr is something that can be asked for. In a difficult time, oh Allah, make me patient.
Let's continue our lesson. So what happened? Allah says, فَسُوا هَزَمُوهُمْ. They defeated them. هَزَمُوا from the root هَزَيْمِيم. هَزَيْمِيم. هَزَم. هَزَم is to defeat the other. And it's not just to defeat the other, but it is to put them to flight. Defeat them and put them to flight. Defeat someone so badly that they just run to save their lives now. So فَهَزَمُوهُمْ, the believers defeated the disbelieving army and they put the disbelieving army to flight. That the disbelievers were running away from the battlefield to save their lives. In other words, their feet were not firm anymore. Okay? The believers asked that make our feet firm, that no matter what happens, we stand our ground. And the disbelievers, what happened to them? They could not stand anymore, so they left to save their lives. So فَهَزَمُوهُمْ, they defeated them. How? بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ, with permission of Allah. And what happened? وَقَتَلَ, and he killed. Who killed? دَاوُودُ دَاوُود. Dawood, the same Dawood alayhi salam, the Prophet. Dawood alayhi salam killed. Killed who? Dawood alayhi salam, who was in the army of Talut, killed Jalut. Jalut. Goliath. So Dawood alayhi salam killed Jalut. Who was Jalut? The leader of the disbelieving army. So if their leader is killed, they're finished. وَآتَاهُ, and he gave him. Who gave who? Allahu Allah gave Dawood alayhi salam. What did Allah give Dawood alayhi salam? Al-mulka, the kingdom, the kingship. Over here, al-mulk means sovereignty, that he became the king of the Bani Israel. He was given leadership. So Allah gave him mulk, and also wal-hikmah, and the wisdom. When hikmah is used for prophets, that Allah gave hikmah to the prophet, it means prophethood. Okay, many times this will come, that Allah gave hikmah to so-and-so prophet, and hikmah means prophethood, generally. And if it's used otherwise for the Prophet, then it means his way, his sunnah. Like for example, hikmah in the Quran is also used for the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. So hikmah generally has to do with the Prophet. So Allah gave him mulk and he also gave him hikmah, meaning Allah also gave him prophethood. وَعَلَّمَهُ and he taught him, meaning Allah taught Dawood a.s. مِمَّا from whatever يَشَاءُ he wills. Whatever Allah willed, Allah taught Dawood a.s. Besides the knowledge of the deen, besides the knowledge of the hereafter, Allah also taught him other things. Like what? Do you know anything else that Dawood a.s. was taught? Yes, he had a very beautiful voice and used to recite. What else? Yeah, melting of the iron and such things that he could make, chain mail, coats of mail, and such things. Understanding the language of the animals, that was his son Sulaiman alayhi salam. So, عَلَّمَهُ مِمَّا يَشَاء. Allah taught Dawood alayhi salam whatever he wanted to. وَلَوْلَا and if not, دَفْعُ repelling, اللَّهِ of Allah. دَفْعُ from the root, دَال فَعِين. دَال فَعِين. دَفْع means to push someone away, to repel someone away. So, were it not that Allah would repel, who? Allah would repel an-nasa, the people. Allah would repel the people. بَعْضَهُمْ some of them, meaning some people, through who? بِبَعْضٍ through others. That some people, they have leadership, they have a lot of money, they have a lot of authority. And then what happens? Another group of people, they come and push them away. Push them away, meaning they are deprived of their leadership and their kingship and their authority and their wealth and their power. So, were it not that Allah would defeat some people through others, Allah would repel some people through others, what would happen then? What would happen? لَفَسَدَتْ surely it became corrupted. In other words, if the powerful remained powerful, okay? If the powerful remained powerful forever, what would happen? The earth would become corrupted. وَلَكِنَّ but Allah, Allah, He is ذُو فَضْلٍ, possessor of bounty. He has a lot and He gives a lot to people. عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ upon the worlds, over the people of the worlds. Then Allah says, تِلْكَ that. تِلْكَ refers to what? All of these ayat, the story. And تِلْكَ is a feminine of the word, ذَلِكَ. So تِلْكَ that, ayatu are verses, revealed verses, plural of ayah. These are the verses of who? Allahi of Allah. Natluha, we recite it. We recite what? We recite these ayat, alayka, upon you. You refers to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These are the ayat of Allah which we recite on you, O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How? Bilhaqqi, with the truth. With the truth, meaning exactly how the fact is, exactly how the truth is. The story has been told to you in truth. Okay, this is what it means. The story has been told to you in truth. وَإِنَّكَ and indeed you, how did you know about the story? Because indeed you, لَمِنْ surely from الْمُرْسَلِينَ those who are sent, the messengers. مُرْسَلِينَ, plural of مُرْسَل. مُرْسَل, from the root غَاسِينَ لَام, one who has been sent. So one who has been made a messenger.
Let's listen to the recitation of these verses.
فهزموهم بإذن الله وقتل داود جالوت وآتاه الله الملك والحكمة وعلمه مما يشاء ولولا دفع الله الناس بعضهم ببعض لفسدت الأرض ولكن الله ذو فضل على العالمين تلك آيات الله نتلوها عليك بالحق وإنك لمن المرسلين.
Verse number 251. فَهَزَمُوهُمْ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ so they defeated them by permission of Allah. So the army of Talut defeated the army of Jalut with Allah's permission. Notice how بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ is mentioned again and again. Because everything happens with Allah's permission. وَقَتَلَ دَاوُودُ جَالُوتُ and Dawood killed Jalut. Dawood alayhi salam, who was part of the army at that time, he was a normal regular soldier. He was not a prophet yet. He showed courage, he showed bravery, and he killed Jalut. He killed the leader of the army that was opposing them. وَقَتَلَ دَاوُودُ جَالُوتُ وَآتَاهُ اللَّهُ الْمُلْكَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. And Allah gave him the kingship and prophethood. Allah gave to Dawood alayhi salam, number one, al-mulk, authority, a dominion, kingship, wal-hikmah, and hikmah here is referring to prophethood. For the first time in history, these two qualities were combined in one person, kingship and prophethood. Before this time, these two qualities were separate. A king was not a prophet, and a prophet was not a king. This was the first time when both of these two qualities were combined. So a king who was a prophet who was a king. And who was he? Dawood alayhi salam. Similarly, Sulaiman alayhi salam, his son, also had prophethood and kingship. And after that again, these two qualities were separated. وَآتَاهُ اللَّهُ الْمُلْكَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ. Now how did this happen? It is mentioned in Israeli traditions, Judeo-Christian traditions, that Talut, who was Talut, the leader of the believing army, he said that the one who kills Jalut will get married to my daughter. So this was a promise that he made. Whoever kills Jalut will be married to my daughter. And he kept this promise. And thus, Allah gave Dawood alayhi salam kingship and prophethood as well. وَعَلَّمَهُ مِمَّا يَشَاءَ. And taught him from that which he willed. Allah taught Dawood alayhi salam of that which Allah willed to teach him. For example, as mentioned, fashioning coats of armor, coats of mail. Iron was made pliable in his hands. So iron, which is something that is very, very solid. And how do we work with iron? Or if you've ever seen a person working with iron, what do? They have hammers, they have machines, they melt the iron, then they use it. But for Dawood alayhi salam, he would hold iron in his hand and twist it with his hand. It was made soft and pliable for him. Similarly, as mentioned over here, he was given prophethood, knowledge. He was given knowledge of the affairs of the dunya. So he had a kingdom under him. He had authority in the land. People would come to him with their cases, and he would judge between them. وَعَلَّمَهُ مِمَّا يَشَاءَ. And he taught him from that which he willed. And this was the time when Bani Israel reached their peak. They reached the heights in their society at the time of Dawood alayhi salam and Sulaiman alayhi salam. And after that, when they left the teachings of the messengers again, they faced a downfall. وَلَوْلَا دَفْعُ اللَّهِ النَّاسَ بَعْضَهُمْ بِبَعْضٍ لَفَسَدَتِ الْأَرْضِ. And if it were not for Allah checking some people by means of others, the earth would have been corrupted. So Allah maintains a balance. And there's a limit that Allah has set. When a nation spreads corruption, forgets the teachings of Allah, moves away from the deen, and it keeps on spreading corruption and fasad, and it reaches a certain limit. When it reaches that limit, Allah replaces it with another nation. Because if that nation was to cross the limit, what would happen? There would be fasad all over the earth. If it were not for Allah checking some people by means of others. So for example, a nation is transgressing, is exceeding the limits. In the past, what used to happen? Allah would destroy the nation by means of divine punishment. Later on, the command of jihad was given. So a nation that is exceeding the limits, another nation comes and fights them and takes over. And this is done in order to prevent corruption from spreading throughout the earth. Because if there was no limit, if there was no check, this fasad would be prevalent. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ ذُو فَضْلٍ عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ. But Allah is full of bounty to the worlds. And this is a bounty of Allah. It is out of His favor, His fadl, that He keeps a check on these nations. تِلْكَ آيَاتُ اللَّهِ. These are the verses of Allah. نَتْلُوهَا عَلَيْكَ بِالْحَقِّ. Which we recite to you in truth. All these verses, and in particular the verses that we're reading, are what? They're the truth. They're revealed in the truth. They were revealed upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَإِنَّكَ لَمِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. And indeed you are from among the messengers. Why is this mentioned? When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam migrated from Mecca to Medina, the Bani Israel, the people of the book who were in Medina, they were required to believe and support the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This was required of them. They must have done this, but what did they do? Instead, they plotted and conspired against the Muslims. So here, in other words, it is said that these verses were revealed upon the Prophet ﷺ about Bani Israel, about their history, and he is narrating or he is reciting these verses to you. This is a clear sign of his prophethood. It is a sign of the prophethood of the Prophet ﷺ. So why do you not accept his messengership? Why do you not support him? وَإِنَّكَ لَمِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. And this also tells us that the Prophet ﷺ was a prophet, a messenger from the many messengers that were sent to mankind. And secondly, the people of Mecca, they would keep saying to the Prophet ﷺ, لَسْتَ مُرْسَلًا. لَسْتَ مُرْسَلًا meaning, you're not a messenger. But Allah is saying, وَإِنَّكَ لَمِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. Indeed, you are of the messengers. Listen to the recitation.
فهزموهم بإذن الله وقتل داود جالوت وآتاه الله الملك والحكمة وعلمه مما يشاء ولولا دفع الله الناس بعضهم ببعض لفسدت الأرض ولكن الله ذو فضل على العالمين تلك آيات الله نتلوها عليك بالحق وإنك لمن المرسلين.
Alhamdulillah, you have completed the second juz. And like this, you will complete the second juz, the third juz, until you will complete the entire Quran. So my dua at the end of the second juz is that Allah makes us firm on this path, on this deen, and He enables us to complete the Quran. Because many times people start the course in the middle, they find a difficulty, then they stop. But make dua to Allah that, oh Allah, keep me steadfast. Keep me on this path. Make the Qur'an a companion for me in this life, a companion for me in my grave, a light for me on the Sirat until I reach Jannah. Because a journey does not end at a person's death, but there's a journey ahead as well, and that is the journey on the Day of Judgment, going from one position then another and another until a person enters his destination. So include this in one of your du'as, to make du'a to Allah to make this Qur'an a companion, a friend to which you turn to again and again. If you would like to say anything at the conclusion of Juz 2.
Again, I was thinking about all those verses, that sometimes when we come and want to work for cause of Allah, for fi sabilillah, we think, okay, we don't have enough energies, we don't have enough skills, talents. Because in this, it was mentioned that for a leader, we need two qualities, jism and ilm as well. Okay, sometimes we don't have enough strength, sometimes we don't have enough knowledge, but what about those people? Those were only 300 out of 73,000, and they were able to get the success. What quality they had? Sabr. So maybe we do have that. Maybe we don't have enough knowledge, we don't have enough strength, we don't have other sources, but try to explore yourself and imagine you are in way of Allah. How many people outside? They don't know anything. Their success is on risk. But you sitting under this floor, maybe with a little sabr, with a little patience of getting this knowledge of Quran, when you will go out, many other people will get benefit from you as well. So don't give up.
Assalamu alaikum. I don't know how many guys you know this, but I just heard from my auntie. If you like read a lot of in the Quran, you know what will happen in the Day of Judgment? The Quran will turn into a person, will be your friend, and it will protect you.
And that is if you befriend the Quran in this dunya. And a friend is someone to whom you go to again and again and again. Listen to the recitation.
ألم تر إلى الذين خرجوا من ديارهم وهم ألوف حذر الموت
فَقَالَ لَهُمُ اللَّهُ مُوتُوا ثُمَّ أَحْيَاهُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَذُو فَضْلٍ عَلَى النَّاسِ وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَشْكُرُونَ وَقَاتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَاعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يُقْرِضُ اللَّهَ قَرْضًا حَسَنًا فَيُضَاعِفَهُ لَهُ أَضْعَافًا كَثِيرَةً وَاللَّهُ يَقْبِضُ وَيَبْسُطُ وَإِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الْمَلَإِ مِنْ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مُوسَى إِذْ قَالُوا لِنَبِيٍّ لَهُمُ ابْعَثْ لَنَا مَلِكًا نُقَاتِلْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ قال هل عسيتم إن كتب عليكم القتال ألا تقاتلوا قالوا وما لنا ألا نقاتل في سبيل الله وقد أخرجنا من ديارنا وأبنائنا فلما كتب عليهم القتال تولوا إلا قليلا منهم والله عليم بالظالمين وقال لهم نبيهم إن الله قد بعث لكم طالوت ملكا قالوا أنى يكون له الملك علينا ونحن أحق بالملك منه ولم يؤت سعة من المال قال إن الله اصطفاه عليكم وزاده بسطة في العلم والجسم والله يؤتي ملكه من يشاء والله واسع عليم وقال لهم نبيهم إن آية ملكه أن يأتيكم التابوت فيه سكينة من ربكم وبقية مما ترك آل موسى وآل هارون تحمله الملائكة إن في ذلك لآية لكم إن كنتم مؤمنين فلما فصل طالوت بالجنود قال إن الله مبتليكم بنهر فمن شرب منه فليس مني ومن لم يطعمه فإنه مني إلا من اغترف غرفة بيده فشربوا منه إلا قليلا منهم فلما جاوزه هو والذين آمنوا معه قالوا لا طاقة لنا اليوم بجالوت وجنوده قال الذين يظنون أنهم ملاقو الله كم من فئة قليلة غلبت فئة كثيرة بإذن الله والله مع الصابرين ولما برزوا لجالوت وجنوده قالوا ربنا أفرغ علينا صبرا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين فهزموهم بإذن الله وقتل داود جالوت وآتاه الله الملك والحكمة وعلمه مما يشاء ولولا دفع الله الناس بعضهم ببعض لفسدت الأرض ولكن الله ذو فضل على العالمين تلك آيات الله نتلوها عليك بالحق وإنك لمن المرسلين
وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته